The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DK Network, DraftKings Network. Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. This is A Numbers Game, live from Bar Canada at the D. Big show today as far as mid-week shows go in terms of guests and in terms of news, obviously. First of all, the guest, Will Hill, will join us. All of his plays this weekend, pro and college football and beyond. JVT on the NBA and college football. Mike Pritchard, Jason Weingarten from Under Cloud of Smoke. Phil Bobbitt is going to talk F1 with us. Here's the thing. Tomorrow and Friday, Kelly, you may need to send the VSiN chopper to pick me up on the helipad.
You're having some trouble
on the top of my building. Yeah, they won't let us turn left onto the strip anymore. So I'm completely, it's going to be ugly. So chopper for tomorrow. But I figure we might as well make money off it in the meantime. So Phil Bobbitt's going to help us with that. He's a motorsports handicapper from CBS Sportsline. So we'll do that. First, though, of course, the big news this morning. And by the way, good morning to you, Kelly Bidlin. I didn't even say good morning.
Good morning.
Very, very poor form on my part. In case you missed this morning, in case you were asleep, in case you were trapped under a heavy object, Deshaun Watson out for the season for the Cleveland Browns. He will undergo season-ending surgery to repair a fracture in his throwing shoulder. He'll be placed on injured reserve. He was already dealing with what we were speculating was a high ankle sprain. And if, Kelly, if you went to the Cleveland Browns Twitter and just read their statement about it, and I'll get to it here because, of course, it just went away from me on my phone. But if you read it, it's like this.
Detailed.
It was sort of like this. We want to make him into the hero that he was, and God forbid he sues us, if anything.
Yeah, like needed a game recap in there somehow. Yeah.
Said Deshaun Watson underwent magnetic resonance imaging, MRI, Monday on two injuries sustained on different plays in the first half of Sunday's 33-31 win over the Ravens. Imaging on his left ankle revealed a high ankle sprain. In addition, post-game, Deshaun notified our medical staff. Remember, they said post-game there. Of our medical staff, of new discomfort in his right shoulder that he felt after a hit in the first half. An MRI, of the right shoulder revealed a displaced fracture to the glenoid. Despite performing at a high level and finishing the game after consultation with head physician James Vuss and industry-leading shoulder specialist Neil L. Attaché, MD, it has been determined that this injury will require immediate surgical repair to avoid further structural damage. Deshaun will be placed on season-ending IR and a full recovery is expected for the start of the 2024 season. So basically, it's like, hey, we didn't know anything about it during the game. And if that's the case, and he wasn't shot up, if you will, that was a heroic performance by Deshaun Watson in getting that win, that come-from-behind win over the Ravens. Now, what does this mean? Well, first of all, what does it mean with Deshaun Watson? Deshaun Watson will have played 12 NFL games since the pandemic when he returns next year. So he missed, remember that year where he was still with Houston and they just made him inactive all year long. So he missed all of that in 2021. 2022, the allegations came. He was suspended for 11 games. He played the final six last year, which was sort of this weird, strange exhibition-like thing almost with him. My interpretation, no one else's. And then this year, injury riddled, and now it's six games complete this year. So 12 games since the pandemic. That is what his career has cratered into. Beyond all the off the field stuff. And so where does this leave us with bets?
Real quick, Gil.
Yes, sir.
The wording from the Browns on this.
This was my point. Yes.
Is interesting because it's extremely detailed, right? With really pointing out, because I've been one of those people, right, that have been wondering and speculating, and I'm not the only one, of how injured has Deshaun Watson been all season. They're very specific to point out that this was something new in game in this game
that they were only informed of after the fact.
Right, afterward.
They are really protecting themselves in that statement.
Yeah,
it feels like.
Yes, I agree with that. I agree with that. And then I guess I'm just surprised they're willing to go that far Because they don't need to say all this. They don't need to see all this.
They didn't need to say all this.
They don't need to say all this.
It's a very interesting statement.
And for a guy that I think a lot of people have believed has been banged up and working through some things all season,
mm-hmm.
That better not be true then. Like, this is better just be the only new injury if you're going to make a statement like this.
This is why I read it, because I found it so interesting, right?
Yeah.
What does it mean from a betting standpoint? First of all, this was one of the two games that I liked during guessing lines, but the last thing we said on the show yesterday was the reason I only made one bet instead of the two in the account is because we didn't know what Deshaun's status was anyway for this week in their game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And so now that line has gone from north of three, it was four most of the week, four in favor of the Browns. It has gone through the three. It is either at 2.5 or two in favor of the Browns, -2 or -2.5, depending on where you're betting these days, at this moment, I should say, hosting the Steelers on Sunday morning with PJ Walker, Pajama Walker, as your starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. The total, by the way, is 34, it should be pointed out. To the question of, do I like, as someone who liked the Browns if it were Deshaun at four, do I like them with PJ Walker at below three? The answer is I do, actually. I really do.
I was waiting for you to say no so I can come back on the other side. I'm with you.
No.
I'm with you.
I kind of like it as much, if not better, frankly.
This is where point spreads matter, right? You're going through the three.
Yes.
That is a major move. In NFL with a total this short, too. So is there that big of a difference between what we've seen out of Deshaun Watson this year and Walker?
It ain't your average 1.5-point move is the point.
Right.
It's through the three. I like it just as much. Let's put it that way. I like it just as much. The Browns, for me, that's going to be a bet. It's going to be a contest play. It's going to be all of that. The other sort of more macro look on this is, here you have a four-team division where, you know, this was the most competitive division in all of football to this point this year. And I think I represent most people when I say this, the Steelers, sort of the mirage 6-3, right? The sort of smoke and mirrors. We've been outgained in every single game this year. Yet the Mike Tomlin magic beans have them at 6-3. So I don't think, I'm not going to speak for everybody, because there are going to be some people who think the Steelers have a shot at this division. I do not, right? I also don't think a PJ Walker-led Browns team is to be taken as seriously as the other two teams in the division, which are the Ravens and the Bengals, who happen to play tomorrow night. Now, keep in mind, when you look at the standings in this division, the Ravens right now have the lead despite their loss, right? They have their lead. They have the lead in the AFC North currently going into this game. They're 7-3. Pittsburgh and Cleveland 6-3. Cincinnati 5-4. Baltimore wins this game, and they are favored as the home team here by 3.5 points. Baltimore will win the season series against Cincinnati. They will sweep the Bengals as, if you buy into the, I don't take the PJ Walker led Brown seriously, and I don't take the Magic Bean Steelers seriously, that would in essence then be a de facto that would be a 2.5 game lead in the standings over the Bengals. But in essence, it would be a 3.5 game lead over the Bengals because of the sweep of the season series. Yes, would you have to worry about the Browns and the Steelers, but you get the point.
Yeah.
So that game tomorrow night becomes a massive thing. And if you want to get ahead of that, you can get the Ravens. If you buy into that train of thought, you can get the Bengals right now as good as even money in some spots. We're seeing -115 at DraftKings.
Yeah, 115 reposted at DraftKings. Ravens -115, Bengals +400, Steelers +425, Browns +450.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a bet. I really do.
I think it's a bet either way. It's all correlated to this game, because I completely agree with how you set that up, right? This is Matt and I will often talk about this. Matt Brown and I will often talk about this. When you get into division races like this, it becomes a golf matchup, right? I don't really think the Browns are live in this division anymore. I don't really think the Steelers are live in this division. So you're basically playing, I think there's only two teams left, and they happen to play tomorrow night for this division. So I think if you like the Bengals on this side tomorrow night, you probably are sprinkling some on 4-1 or something in the division. And if you like the Ravens side in that game tomorrow night, you're definitely playing that at the even money or minus 115.
And I get it. I get it. The Ravens schedule is still difficult even beyond the Bengals. But the point of that is they go, in essence, with a win tomorrow, they would go, in essence, from a 1.5 game lead in the division, which is what it is right now, to a really a de facto 3.5 game lead, right, over their primary contender. Now, if you're a Steelers person or if you're a Browns person, even with PJ Walker, okay, you can choose to ignore that. I get it. That's one standpoint. I just don't have that viewpoint on the thing.
No, me either.
And I don't think most people do either. So that's, and the Ravens to me in that respect kind of cheap at that price.
No, I agree. Yeah. I agree. And I'm one of the people that I don't have a bet yet on this game tomorrow night. I do think I'm going to end up taking a piece of the Bengals at over a field goal. I think this is kind of their last stand. This is all everything they've got going into this week. They got to win.
Great historically as a dog with Joe Burrow. Great.
Yep, exactly. I mean, I know both sides are dealing with major injuries, but Cincinnati's probably are more serious with the defensive ends, the wide receivers that they've got. But I was probably going to back them small at least tomorrow night anyways, Gil. And I think if you're doing that, you got to throw a little bit on the division price, too. And Ravens, same thing.
12 games he will have played, Deshaun Watson, when he suits up next year in 2024, since the pandemic. That is 12 games more than you, Kelly Bidlin. And it would have been fewer had you not incurred that torn calf injury on field goal day.
Yeah, that's right.
But that's amazing. Like, and it by is. The way, and every one of those $253 million is guaranteed. They're on the hook, the Browns, for every penny of that.
I'm going to be a sucker, though, next year. Like, this is, I believed in Deshaun this year coming back and looking more like the old Deshaun Watson. I'm going to believe it again next year when betting odds are even, you know, are even longer.
Oh, I think we'll all be there. Yeah. I'm with you. You're right. We'll all kind of still be tempted by it. We'll come back. JVT on the NBA and college football in season tournament thoughts next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With so many games on the board, there's no better time to put the VSiN experts to work for you. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, plus betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Sign up today. Get your first 30 days for only $19. That's 30 days, your first 30 days for only $19 to see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9, so much more than a producer, live from Bar Canada at the D here in downtown Las Vegas. We welcome in our senior NBA betting analyst, the host of Hardwood Handicappers and a pair of college football shows on the weekend, but we'll talk NBA with him first. It's Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody. JVT, how you doing, John?
I'm good. I was going to have to stick up for my boy Kelly. I was about to throw fisticuffs. Way more than a producer, Kelly Bidlin.
Oh, no, that's the line that we always say. We're so much more than a producer. You're also the co-host of Hardwood Handicappers. JVT, I want to start with the in-season tournament in the NBA and get your thoughts on this, because there's going to be a lot of people who are thinking about making bets. I think there's still a good portion of people who are like, yeah, I've heard about this thing, but I'm not exactly sure what it is because I haven't been paying that close attention. And just from a format standpoint, it began November 3rd. It's going to end in early December. But the NBA broke the league up into 6 groups. Essentially, what you're going to end up is with a quarterfinals in December. There's group play right now. It's still part of the regular season. There's just designated games on Tuesdays and Fridays.
Bravo.
Each team will have played 4 games when all is said and done. One hasn't played any yet. In the case of the Toronto Raptors, and some have already played 3 on the way to these 4. So in essence, what we will have is a quarterfinal set up on in early December, because they're the group winners plus 2 wild cards. The question becomes, is there a team out there right now that represents value to you to win the in-season tournament, where the prize is $500,000 per player?
So I think so. And I think that there's a couple to look at, and one of them is dependent on health. But having said that, you can get the Phoenix Suns guys at 22-1 to win the in-season tournament. The rest of their schedule is Utah, Portland, and Memphis. That's the rest of their group play. So they can go 3-1. And I even think if they don't have anyone, you know, any 2 of the big 3, that's a portion of the schedule they can get through. Finish group play 3-1. and find their way into, at the very least, the elimination stage and work from there. But their schedule is insanely weak as they move forward. They lost their first game to Los Angeles Lakers, but that's it. So I think Phoenix is at the top of the list, especially when you're talking about 22-1 on a team that in group play has Utah, Portland, and Memphis left on their group play schedule. I'd also throw out, if you wanted a little bit of like a meteor long shot for you, also in the Western Conference, and they're a very popular team, people love them, and their schedule is a little bit tougher, but they can win these games. Oklahoma City's at 100-1. They did just beat San Antonio Spurs. They got to beat Memphis, Minnesota coming up next. They got to have some things happen for them. But as we saw with Minnesota, scuffling around with the Clay and Draymond and Steph-less Warriors, they're not perfect. I think you could probably consider that, but I think at the top of the list is the Phoenix Suns at 22-1, given the rest of their group play schedule, and they've only played one game.
Yeah, and I'm seeing them as long as 29-1 in some spots.
Yeah, and just to add on to that, because we got a tweet about this yesterday, Gil. I think this is as you're approaching, if you're betting the NBA daily, like JVT and I are, like, this is, think about adding bets, right? So if you like the Suns tonight, even in their game tonight, or later in the week, make sure to look at those group odds too. Cause like you're talking about to win the tournament overall, JVT, right? But they're 11-1 even just to win their group, which I think is still a little live. So you could even throw a little bit of money on that.
Yep, absolutely.
By the way, these are not in every sports book, right? These are not available in every sports book. You might have to do a little searching around for these, but they are in enough spots. Like, can I throw out one team? And Kelly, I'm not sure who you're betting. The Indiana Pacers are already 2-0 in Group A. They're playing Atlanta. They're playing Detroit. So let's say they split those, right? Let's say they win Detroit. They lose Atlanta. They're 3-1. They're probably going to get into the quarterfinals as well. They are not quite as sexy as your Suns play, which I will admit looks better at 29-1-ish or even in the 20s, wherever you're getting them. I'm seeing the Pacers at around 18-1. They score more points than any team in the NBA. They give up more points than any team, I think, with the exception of the Spurs thus far this year in the NBA. Is this the team that will just, they're flawed clearly, but they'll just, like last night, right? They beat the Sixers, 132-126 as 6.5-point dogs. Might you take a flyer on them just because they can outgun you?
I mean, I think you would, especially considering where they're already standing in group play and they're in the rest of the schedule. And I think at the very least, Gil, you'll get in a position to do something with them, because I think more than likely, they run into Boston, because Boston has only played one game. They beat Brooklyn 121-107. And the rest of Boston's schedule is Toronto, Orlando, and Chicago. Now, Orlando, for those who don't remember, actually gave Boston fits last year. They were 3-1 straight up and 4-0 against the spread against Boston. They were awesome. So like when you look at the way that Orlando's played Boston, maybe they slip up there. But it seems likely that a team that beat them by, 47 points earlier is going to be a team that they run into. But if they run into them, that's going to be in the elimination stage. So you're going to be able to do something with it. And then you look at the rest of the way the groups break down. I mean, it's Miami at the top of East Group B. Milwaukee doesn't look consistent in any way, shape, or form. And they're in the driver's seat of their group in Group A. So I think when you're looking at it, I would say absolutely Indiana would be one to be considered. And to add on to that, they're going to be motivated. It's a really young team where $500K for each player is going to make a really big difference.
I got in-season tournament fever. I don't know about you, Kelly.
Great.
I'm fully into it, and I thought I would hate it.
It's great. I think the biggest thing for us, for as bettors, right? It's just like, what would we say?
More opportunities.
Anything you add for more opportunities and more ways to make bets, it's great. I love it.
Go ahead, JVT.
Can I add really quickly?
Please.
I would just say, like, a lot of people were crapping on it, Gil. And for me, it was a win-win for the league, because these are just regular season games that you're putting fancy labels on. And then the culmination is a neutral site tournament for 3 days out in Las Vegas. Like,
yes.
There's really no difference and no harm in trying out something like this. And like you guys are talking about, like, there's a little bit of a way. People love to bet futures and love to get payoffs. And so if you can get a little early season fix and bet the Phoenix Suns at 22-1 or 29-1, as you mentioned, and maybe have a shot at cashing that before you get to Christmas, like that, it's a really good thing for bettors out there ultimately. So I thought it was a win-win for the NBA, and the people complaining about it were just there to complain, because all they're doing is just, all right, here's some fancy courts, here's some fancy uniforms. Oh, and by the way, if you win enough of these, then we'll probably have a neutral site tournament in Las Vegas that people can go to and you guys are going to play in. So no, I do like the concept. It's worked out pretty well, I think, so far.
It's a beautiful thing. Neutral site tournament in Las Vegas for the final four of this, if you will, the semifinals. The championship game is the only game that does not count towards the standings, as we noted.
Yeah. Again, just going back to one of those tweets we got yesterday, there are the markets I've found, JVT, are a little slow to move on some of these too. Like,
yes.
This was, I was in on the Timberwolves pregame yesterday. I got in on them again when Steph Curry was ruled out. About 2 hours later, I took a 2-1 Timberwolves ticket for them to win the group, which then ended up moving later on. So it was that should have moved.
It was right up when during Steph the
Curry,
game.
No, no, it was before the game.
Before
it should have moved.
I see
odds when Steph Curry got ruled out. It really didn't. So I think there's keep that in mind as you're shopping around for this.
And you were fortunate that worked out for you because for those who missed it again, Draymond and Clay were ejected from the game before a point was even scored. And somehow the Pajemski-Saric led Warriors took the T-Wolves to the brink. Before it worked out for yesterday. So good on you.
I had about 8 bets in that game. So
There were so many opportunities to bet. What's that again?
I said Saric was eating their lunch for a while. They had no answer for him. It was ridiculous.
It was incredible. It was incredible. But it worked out for you, so good on you for that. But these are the kind of opportunities that exist. All right, JVT, real quick, what do you like in the NBA today?
So I think there's a couple of opportunities. You want to wait for some injury reports, but I will say this for sure. So Dallas is at home, or excuse me, on the road. Second leg of back-to-back, third game of 4 nights. They're playing the Washington Wizards. We saw what happened to Dallas yesterday in New Orleans. Got smoked, and their defense has not been very good. It's been their offense that's carrying them. Washington has had a very, very road-heavy schedule to start the year, guys. They've only played 3 games at home so far this year, but they played 10 overall. Do the math, that's 7 games on the road. And I think when you're looking at Washington, they have the ability offensively to at least stay within some big numbers against some lesser defensive opponents. So the injury report hasn't come out for Dallas, like I mentioned. They're on the second leg of a back-to-back. But we know for Washington, the only guy that's going to be missing is DeLon Wright. And that's not anything that's going to move the needle or make your offense worse. So I think Washington catching 6 points here against Dallas, especially given the situation for Dallas, you could see somebody pop up on the injury report. So I don't think there's any harm in grabbing 6 here. I also think coming up later today, when you look at the rest of the schedule, you want to make sure that some of these other injury reports are clean. Atlanta, for example, Atlanta was back and forth with Detroit yesterday without Trae Young. Trae Young could be back at the birth of his child is what kept him out yesterday, personal reasons. But I think that we saw that DeJounte Murray is perfectly capable of this offense. And this team is actually statistically better this year without Trae Young. So want to see what the market would do with this, especially want to see if Trae Young is going to play. But if he doesn't, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to go in and back Atlanta for a second night. And then last one, De'Aaron Fox. And looking at the success potentially of the Sacramento Kings today, especially from a De'Aaron Fox maybe point total standpoint, there's not many guys that the Los Angeles Lakers can throw at De'Aaron Fox defensively that are going to be able to shut him down. And at the very least, he should have a big game here today.
All right. Jonathan Ottobel, everybody, at me, JBT. Check out JBT and Pam Maldonado. Live bet Saturday, noon Eastern on Saturday. Talking college football. And then on Sunday with the College Lines Revealed show at 1 p.m. on Sunday Eastern time. Thank you, JBT. Appreciate it, man.
Good to talk to you guys. Thank you.
Jonathan Bontobel, and of course, the co-host of Hardwood Handicappers with Kelly Bidlon. Will Hill, all his plays next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, we got to take a break and talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. How about the long-form version, Kelly? Is that okay? We're always debating what a team needs to do to get to number one, but Zyn nicotine pouches are already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. If you're a smoker or dipper looking to ditch the ashtray or spit cup, look no further than Zyn. Zyn is made with 6 simple ingredients and is available in a wide range of varieties, including spearmint, citrus, and even coffee. And it's available in 2 strengths so you can control your nicotine satisfaction. Because it's discreet, you can enjoy it anywhere, anytime, so you never have to miss a moment of the game. Plus, every can of Zyn earns you points towards premium items like tailgating gear, top-of-the-line tech, Zyn swag, and even gift cards. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback from everybody. You know, good, bad, indifferent. As long as you're funny, we'll read everything. This is from, from Joby. Was Jannik Sinner's performance yesterday against Djokovic a one-off, or has he found something that would make him a serious threat on the fast courts of the Australian Open? Don't want to overreact, but 12-1 doesn't seem like a bad price to have in pocket. I will say this, Joby, as Jannik Sinner finally beats Djokovic yesterday, Jannik Sinner on indoor hards is outstanding. His serve is at the top that it's ever been. but this was also in Italy. He's got the crowd behind him. So there's a lot of factors that really work out here for Sinner for him to just barely beat Djokovic yesterday. Was a great win. He probably should have won it three different times. I don't know that I would race to bet it at 12-1, but 12-1 actually represents a bit of value in my point, from my perspective, for sure. But there's always Djokovic looming, so there's that. This is from Taylor at Cooking Winners. He is working out on the treadmill, watching us today. He shows me his treadmill notes. He says that he is every morning he watches us. He's a DMV transplant on the West Coast. There you go, Taylor. Appreciate that. Getting his workout in on the show. James Spivey in Cleveland. They call Deshaun Chick-fil-A because he doesn't work on Sundays. Okay. Sky High. Does Watson's injury settle down or even drop and equalize the quarterback market the way the contract initially inflated it, or have too many other quarterbacks signed contracts to solidify the market the way it's moving forward? That's a great question. I'll read some other tweets later. This is where it gets into the question of the economics, the cruel economics of the NFL. Teams are forced to pay out these nine-figure deals before they really know if their quarterback will be the one to bring them to the promised land. They think they know, but they don't know. And remember, unless you're on a rookie deal overperforming and you could pay other players, or you're a bona fide Hall of Famer, you ain't winning a Super Bowl. And so Deshaun's the biggest example of that, right? 253, but Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins, like the league is littered with these kinds of guys. The Jaguars are going to have to make a decision on Trevor Lawrence in the same vein. Quite frankly, I don't know that it changes a thing. I just think that's what's going to happen. And it's just, there's no getting around that cruel economic structure of the NFL. We bring in Will Hill, star of the Megapod, and of course the Bear Bets pods, both pro football and college football versions. He joins us now. How you doing, Will?
Boys, what's going on? Kelly, good morning. Gil, good morning. See, Gil, it's not that hard to say good morning to other people.
It's really
good morning, Will.
This is the one morning I was like, what happened to me? I didn't even say good morning to Kelly. It's very strange. It's the whole F1 traffic-y thing, Will. It's got me in all out of all sorts.
I haven't heard about that.
Do you not follow Steve Fezzik on Twitter? That's very strange that you haven't heard about that. All right. Where do we stand on week 11? What have you bet so far? Let's start in the NFL.
Yeah, I echo a lot of what you said with the Browns news, with the Watson news, where the way to play this, you know, and this is important when you get breaking news in terms of an injury, they're pretty quick to move like the main markets, the game total, or, you know, the game, the spread, the game total. Sometimes there's a ripple effect. And like you said, the division for the Ravens, to me, this really opens it up for them. I think they can get to 11, 12 wins. They're over under for wins is 11 and a half. I don't want to call tomorrow a division clinching game, but it kind of is. It really would put Cincy away. It would put them essentially four games out. It would finish Cincy for the division. I don't think Pittsburgh has the upside to get to 11 or 12. And without Watson, Cleveland doesn't have the upside to get to 11 or 12. So it's moved. It's up to minus 115. But I think minus 115 is the way to play it here for the Ravens. I do like the Browns on Sunday. I just think that line has moved too much, especially when you're talking through the key number of three. I think they can win that game. I mean, this is still a good roster. You know, this is a Pittsburgh team, as we know, doing it with smoke and mirrors. So to me, this is a 17-14 game that goes in favor of Cleveland. So I think that's a cheap money line, a cheap price on Cleveland there. So those would be the way that would be the way I play that. I did add Houston to make the playoffs. I think this news, and coupled with Buffalo losing on Monday, Buffalo is now 5-5. You probably got to get to 10 wins to get to the playoffs in the AFC. That would make Buffalo have to go 5-2, and they tough to play the Cowboys, the Chiefs, the Eagles. It opens a spot, I think, for Houston, who's not dead in that division. They play the Titans twice. Houston does. They play the Houston twice, Arizona, the Colts, the Jets. They got another one or two games that are winnable. So to me, getting to 9-10 wins, 10 is probably the magic number. I do think Houston gets in here.
All right, what are your F1 plays? No, I'm kidding. Do you have any specific?
Oh, I did play Miami too. I did play the Dolphins. I've seen this movie enough where them, the Cowboys, like, we know it's going to happen. You're going to check the score 5 minutes into the game. It's already going to be 14-0. They're just, this is a good spot for them. They're off of a loss. They're, you know, going to be off of a bye. They're going to be focused, where the Raiders now kind of fat and happy off a couple of wins on the road. To me, that game's got 38-10 written all over it. So I did lay I think it's 12 with the Dolphins.
I'm still waiting for Raiders money to come in, Gil.
Still waiting. That was our first comment.
Like that 10.
Who would would race to bet the Raiders. It really is true, though, Will, right? Like, because this is, if someone just landed from somewhere, you know, a different planet, and they're like, I would like to bet the NFL. By the way, they spoke English as well. I would like to bet the NFL. And we're like recommending, you know, Dallas laying 16.5. You got to get the best of it against the Giants. And here you are willing to lay double digits, you know, with Miami against the Raiders. Any normal year, we'd be like, this is not a good way to do things. But this is the year, man. The bullies are out, and it just keeps manifesting. You would think at some point it wouldn't. I don't want to get in front of that. I don't want to be the guy who's trying to be too cool about this.
And I think it links back up with our point. We talked about it the past few weeks. It's just the bad quarterback play. There's a disparity. There's the haves versus the have-nots. If you have a good quarterback, you have a good offense, and you can get to 30-plus, it's hard for the, you know, O'Connell's played well, but it's hard for the O'Connells, the DeVitos, some of these lower-tier quarterbacks to keep up. And when you're laying that many points, you worry about a backdoor. But when you have such a disparity, you have such poor quarterback play on the other end, you don't worry about the backdoor as much. This coming from someone who did have Giants team total under 10.5. Yeah. Who got stuck with two late touchdowns by DeVito. So it happens, but you worry about it less. Yeah, that was not a pleasant one.
Did that one linger?
It happened in slow motion, too. Oh, I could
with
see
the timeouts.
It was just 6 yards at a time. Like, it just being stabbed 6 yards at a time, penalties, timeouts, more penalties. I mean, they acted like getting the Super Bowl, getting in the end zone there was like going to win them a Super Bowl. That was a really tough one. My goodness.
Well, it's a good thing that didn't linger for you. It's a good thing you purged it from your system very quickly after that. Yeah, that was brutal because the timeouts, just calling the timeouts. You have to laugh, man. But in the moment, those are so tough. College football this weekend, do you have anything? Pre-flop.
I took the two dogs tonight in action. I think Central Michigan is getting 11 if you shop around, and then it's Buffalo getting 9.5. There was a 10-120 a few minutes ago. I think that's, there's starting to be a little movement. I'm going head to head. I saw Fezzik gave out Miami of Ohio laying the points. I just like the dogs here. If you look at the favorites, Ohio and Miami of Ohio, I think Miami, Ohio had 50 yards passing last week and 100 yards passing the week before. Ohio had 100 yards passing last week. These teams on offense are just not that good in the MAC. And it's funny. There's this fascination with the MAC because it's on weeknights, and I don't know, people like the games. The play has really fallen off. I remember watching this, you know, as a kid in high school. Like, Ben Roethlisberger used to play in the league. Randy Moss, I remember, used to play on the MAC. And, man, if you ever get a few minutes to spare at work or you're bored, go watch Randy Moss college football highlights because they're incredible. But it's really, it's sort of like high school football now. It's just, it's so bad. The offenses are so bad. Some of these totals are in the high 30s. So I'm taking Central Michigan plus the 11. I'm taking Buffalo plus the, we'll call it 9.
There you go. If you want some Wednesday Maction, got a couple plays right there. We batted around the Heisman yesterday. Do you have, if someone said, okay, I want to bet on this market, who's the guy I should bet right now? You would say what?
I think there's enough sentiment with Daniels where, I mean, let's face it, you're really just talking about the third loss. If he had two losses, he'd probably be -500 to win this award. It's just the three losses that I don't know that people can stomach. But if you look at the stats, it's night and day with these other guys. It's not like football. It's not like the NFL where they call it the most valuable player. It's called the most outstanding player. He's certainly been the most outstanding player. I think we're going to get a hell of a vote. I don't know that he wins it. It's going to be, I think, one of these, you know, the last few years, you sort of go into the Heisman Day knowing exactly who's going to win. There's not a lot of drama. I think we're going to go into that Saturday with some drama. But to answer your question, it would be Daniels at the longer odds here.
Wow. Still Daniels. Okay. So some love for Daniels. You say there's a shot here. Anything else?
You know what? I think Max Duggan should win it. We got screwed with that last year. Let's give it to Max Duggan. Right.
Do you want my 100-1 ticket on that? Because it looks,
that still stinks.
Oh, it looks beautiful. Between that and the Juan Soto 100-1 MVP ticket in the NL, brutal. Which, by the way, you point out, you're right. Brandon Crawford was not third that year. I keep saying he was third. He was fourth. Pardon me. Thank you for the correction, Will Hill.
All right, Giants propaganda, of course.
Of course, that's all it is. It's a Giants propaganda campaign. All right, Will Hill on the Megapod tomorrow. Cleve TA from Twitter joining us once again on the show with Todd Wishnev. The Bear Bets Pod, first the college version on Thursdays and the pro version on Fridays. And, of course, the Gold Boys plug is
twitch.tv/GoldBoysNetworkNoonEastern.
Will Hill, everybody. Thank you, Will. At not the Will Hill on Twitter. Adjusted win totals next.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VEGAS. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. By the way, Kelly, we have a couple of these. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Jesse Welch says, I got to know, does Kelly Bidlin have business cards with his official title being so much more than a producer? If not, you got to get on that, Kelly. And Chris Felica texts in, not knowing that that tweet was coming at the same time. He goes, I want to know, what makes Kelly Bidlin so much more than a producer? You throw it out there all the time, but never cite any examples. Well, I mean, the man speaks on the show, for God's sakes. That's the first thing I can think of. Also, he's a tremendous athlete. You should see him out there on the football field.
That's right.
So much. What would you add to so much more than a producer, by the way?
I don't, this is like a nickname thing. You said it. I never said it.
Right. Because, well, that's you know why? Because everyone had their moniker, right? Jeff was the Grover Cleveland of producers. I'm not sure what Jason Kahn was. Trying to think of it.
Everybody had one.
Everybody
you
had
and Barles.
One. Motor City Mike. Hey, Gil, since you brought up the Pacers, oh, yes, for the in-season tournament, what say you about Halliburton for most improved after last night's matchup with Maxey, considering past criteria, which gave it to Ja and SGA the last 2 years? It's a pretty interesting question, and I'm talking with Kelly Bidlin right here. Kelly has, full disclosure, Tyrese Maxey at what odds to win this?
30-1. Just a reminder, SGA did not win that award.
We wanted him. We thought he'd win, but it was Markkanen who won it.
What do I have on? No, I'm sorry. I have 20-1. I have 30-1 on Desmond.
But he's essentially Maxey's essentially even money at this point.
Yeah, like if anybody wants to offer me a no price, I don't mind buying out a little on November 15th.
To your point, Motor City Mike, though, I mean, you know, Maxey. Listen, Maxey's been phenomenal, right? He's gone from, in the last 3 years, obviously this is from year to year, but last 4 years, let's do his whole career, 8 points a game, 17.5 points a game. Last year, 20.3 points a game. This year, 28.4 points a game. Mm-hmm. Whew, that's going to be tough to beat. Tyrese, just as a point of comparison, last 3 years, he's gone from 15.3, last year, 20.7, this year, 24.7. Just in terms of points, we can go into other stuff too. He's also got 12 and a half assists a game. Is that right?
He's awesome.
I mean, now his odds are what? 65-1?
Yeah.
That worth a flyer to you? I think it's kind of worth a flyer.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, I think there's two things to keep in mind with this market right now. And I think you and I have always seemed very eye to eye on this market, which I like. So I love talking about this one with you, just of how we think it should, how it works, how it should That's work. Right. It all at least makes sense to us more than, you know, say NFL comeback player of the year.
And then we remind ourselves, we're just trying to win a bet.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is, if Tyrese Maxey doesn't even have to keep up this pace, Tyrese Maxey, as long as this team continues to win, they're in the conversation in the Eastern Conference, and he is a bona fide star on this team next to Joel Embiid. I don't think anybody's winning this award, but Gil, it's November 15th, and I'm saying that.
And it's 65
to
1.
It's a long way to go.
65-1.
So, yeah, 65-1 on Tyrese Halliburton. I'm not going to be angry about anybody.
It's a good call, Motor City Mike. Z Free, tell me your thoughts on nicotine without telling me your thoughts on nicotine. Hashtag long read. And primetime. Cowboys underscore Cubs one. I'm sorry, he says, but Jim Harbaugh trying to steal the moniker of America's team for his cheating program makes me sick. Am I crazy? Or do good Americans strive to be in White Houses, not big houses? Bro, you know how I feel about this. May I call you bro, by the way? I have felt this. What was my word? I'm nonplussed. I have felt this to be the most overblown sports story that I could ever remember. I don't think it's even a scandal. Like, I'm not outraged by what they did. I get it. It broke a rule. And then the way they're acting, you see the assistant coach weeping after that game.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, what are we doing?
I caught it live. It was hilarious. Can I defend the Michigan side for a second?
Please. Absolutely.
All right.
I don't think it matters even on the field. Like, if Harbaugh isn't there, I don't think it matters. Nothing matters to me in all this.
I hear you. I'm not sure. One thing that does matter. I'm not sure that there's anything in sports that makes me more angry than when somehow taxpayer dollars and judges and in courts and whatever have to get involved to settle something that they absolutely do not have to be involved
That's
in.
That's exactly
because
right.
sports should be able to operate by themselves
right.
and not need that to be involved. So that part irks me whenever we get a story like this where that has to happen. Do you see the timing in these things too?
It's Friday. You
know, Friday.
Friday.
So Friday, last Friday they come down with the announcement. And then it's, oh, hey, this Friday we'll hear your appeal. Like, what is that, a day before an important day of the college football schedule?
So add that layer to everything where no one has been right about anything. So right when I asked Futak, I'll just use him as example. I don't mean to pick on him. But I'm like, hey, you think he's going to be suspended for the 3 games, Penn State and Ohio State? He goes, yeah, they'll kick the can down the road. It's not going to happen this year. Everybody said that, right? It's going to be next year. Nope, no big deal. Nope, it is now. Then the other one, oh, but there'll be an injunction. He'll be on the sideline against Penn State. Nope, didn't happen because it was a Friday.
Because it's a Friday.
And none of it, like, so what if he's not on the sideline? I don't think it matters. Anyway,
but like, this is the part where, like, yeah, like, I didn't really care. Now I'm kind of a little irritated for Michigan about this stuff. Only, like, plan everything on Friday? That's not going to help you at all.
Only thing it matters about, which I said the other day, and Felica agreed with me, is if they were to have lost to Penn State, the manner in which they would have dropped down the rankings would have been much more dramatic than otherwise, because it would have been a spite drop kind of thing. Anyway.
Yeah.
They got Maryland, they got Ohio State, and then we'll see where the chips fall.
I'm glad that got brought up. Me too. That had been picking at my brain a little bit. Ever since the interim coach, us against the world stuff after the game. Oh, wow. Man.
Adjusted season win totals in the NFL. We have gone through these. Again, this was something that was just in back rooms before a few years ago. And now, hey, you can bet on adjusted season win totals every week if you want to. This used to be something that was just, you know, from the beginning of the year. And then you had to wait till the end of the year to see if your pre-flop bets won or not. We have had, I'd say, mixed success on going through these. The Falcons under that I recommended, I think it was last week or the week before, looks great. Under 9.5, they're now at 7.5. Bengals is right where they were when I recommended the over. The Titans is the one I think I mentioned an over on them at one point. That doesn't look as good. I like 2 in the NFC. I like 2 in the AFC. Should we do the NFC ones right here?
You know, let's go AFC since a little of these are going to be. Yeah, we're calling it audible. Uh-huh. I spent a lot of time talking about Chip Harbaugh.
I'm sorry.
But we've got some of these odds that you're going to see on the screen I made before Deshaun Watson news came down. So look for some of these might be slightly adjusted.
Okay. Las Vegas under 7.5. Las Vegas under 7.5. Minus 135.
Ding, 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 ding. This is the one me and you both independently
selected. I love this.
Me too.
They're 5-5 are the Raiders. They're 5-5. So that means in order to lose this, they would have to go 3-4 the rest of the way. In order to lose this, they'd have to go 3-4 the rest of the way. Here is the remaining Las Vegas Raiders schedule. You tell me if there's 3 wins on this.
I'll tell you.
At Miami,
nope.
Home Kansas City.
Nope.
Home Minnesota, home Chargers.
Probably not.
At Kansas City. At Indy, home Denver.
Probably not.
Give me the under.
I'm with you.
Give me the under.
This is one. I identified 3. This was the only one in the AFC that I really liked this week, but we both jumped on it. This is one. This is my favorite one, and I will be adding it as a bet here sometime today.
Oh, hope I don't run into Antonio Pearson in the garage downstairs.
Yeah.
That's all I want to say. Well,
I will be adding it whenever Boyd decides to put someone at the desk.
The other... That's right. Forgot it's even there.
They do this overnight thing where it's like, oh, we're set your bet to the trading floor thing, and it just always comes back with either, like, rejected
There's one shop here in town.
Yeah, or they slice your steak, like, in, you know, by an eighth. It's
there's cool. $20 on this bet.
Yeah, exactly.
The other one I like at the AFC, Indianapolis is also 5-5. The Colts are at 8.5. The over is at plus 100. I kind of like this. This one will be harder for people to stomach, but if you look at the Colts' remaining schedule, it is easy peasy. This is their remaining games. You tell me if they don't have 4 wins in this. Home Tampa, at Tennessee, at Cincy, home Pittsburgh, at Atlanta, home Las Vegas, home Houston. I like the Colts getting over that, man. I like them getting 9 wins.
How many do they need? They need four.
They need four. But that is a easy schedule, man.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I don't know how much I
don't like it as much as the Raiders, but I like that.
Yeah. It's harder for me to get behind Minshew. And that, like a lot of those games I think you went through, they're going to be it feels like a lot of short favorite spots for the Colts.
Yeah, so it's like what they have to do is to win this bet, you'd have to go 4-3. You're not asking them to go crazy. And what's the only game on that schedule where you're like, well, they'll lose that? And that's the Cincinnati game. The other six
are up for grabs.
4-2 is very realistic. And they got the bye here to sort of heal up. And yes, I know it's Gardner Minshew, but you're asking me what I like adjusted season win totals.
Yep.
I like the Raiders under and the Colts over. By the way, it's also +100 for the over. So I like that number. -135 for the under 7.5 on
the
Raiders.
And that's a big part. When you're looking at these win totals now, the 100%. Juice goes wild because we're getting towards the end of the season.
We'll do the NFC ones we like best later on the show. Mike Pritchard on the other side. Dan Le Batard is next on DK Network. We're coming back at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll be right back.